Bubba and Fee Show. We got a good one tonight. We got the girls' coach, Coach Deitch, coming in and going to talk to us a little bit. They're running, playing pretty well right now. Got things turned around and right in time because the tournament's right around the corner. Everything else, we've had a lot of sports, good stuff coming on. And
yeah.
Bobby's maybe in.
Yeah, there's...
Who knows?
Cooper Farms is having...
They had a lot of busy. They're busy.
A lot of things going on, and some of it's good, and some of it isn't. So,
yeah, exactly.
So let's get that going the right way. But
yeah, we're hoping maybe we'll get to see him yet before the night's over, but we're going to start out, Coach. Glad to have you in here, buddy.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Absolutely, absolutely. We kind of talked a little bit about... we had a tough start. Came out about 4-8 out of the gate, and like you said, I think the schedule was brutal coming out of the gate.
Yeah, 4-8, 3-6 at one point, 3-7, and then in three of those games, we're one shot away from winning all those. We had three one possession games, so looking at it. Kind of helps to be able to stay optimistic at that point, just saying that, hey, we're right there against these three teams, three good teams, especially at St. Henry, Arcanum, and Parkway all being one-score games there. Being able to go back and have another chance with Arcanum going into tournament.
Yeah.
So there's a good chance that we'll see them again at some point. But, yeah, being able to kind of get things rolling, being able to just execute the stuff that we're trying to do and plan hard, and then just girls being able to stay confident, play confident, and also obviously helps when Carly scoring 23-25 points game over this little stretch here.
That had a good senior leadership here in the middle that's kind of taken over for you.
Yeah,
I'm thinking maybe five or six games ago, I think Kennedy had 20-something.
Yep.
Where, you know, they couldn't guard her, and we were able to get her the ball, and she was throwing it in pretty easily, and, you know, but when they stop our other things, it seems like Carly can always get something going.
Yeah, we have matchup problems for a lot of teams. With our length and athleticism. I mean, anytime you have a 6-foot point guard, I mean, that's going to cause issues for other teams. Just the way she'd be able to defend, not even offensively, but I mean, she leads the conference in blocks.
Yeah,
because she's usually gets to guard guards, and anytime they get down low on her, it's about a 50-50 shot of the ball even hitting the rim. So,
and Kennedy's she always has quiet 10-15 points. Yeah. You know, we talked about it at one of the games at one time. I know that, you know, you look up and all of a sudden she's got 12 points, and it's like, wow.
I don't remember even shooting.
Yeah, I don't remember shooting the ball. You know, but that's a good thing.
Yeah,
you know,
she does a great job of just taking what's there and taking whatever's in the flow of the offense. If the shot's there, she takes it. She very, very rarely takes a shot that you wish that she wouldn't. So either she's taking the right shot or she's getting the ball to the right person to take a shot. So
that's great.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's great having her.
Had a huge win over Coldwater last week.
Yeah.
It's always nice to win that one. That's a big one.
It's always fun to win Coldwater, especially living in town there. It's better to drive home that night.
Talk about especially when you drive through town beeping your horn. Beep, beep.
Peacocking a little bit while driving through town. But, anytime we can get a MAC win, this conference is so tough from top to bottom. Being able to get wins and match our win total from last year is big. Especially for our underclassmen, our sophomores who were getting a lot of playing time, being able to see that progress that they were a part of last year and being able to kind of take that next step and then get to we're above 500 now, which we never got there last year. Just kind of that next step and just continuing to grow and get a little bit better every day.
Yeah, and then tomorrow night, hopefully we get a chance of evening up your MAC record at 4-4, I think.
Yep.
Like I said, anytime you can go 500 in a MAC, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, that is pretty good.
Yep, with especially with St. Henry, Marion, and Minster all being like top seven
teams.
Ranked teams in the state. So being able to stay in games like that and being able to play in games like that will be big for us going down the stretch going into tournament.
Yep, and we've talked a little bit about tournament, and this Sunday, draw?
Sunday's the draw.
Yep. I've seen the teams that were in it, I think. You got to be happy with that.
Yeah, for sure. We're 4 seed in our district right now with Arcanum ahead of us, Anna, and then West Liberty Salem.
Okay.
Don't know a whole lot about West Liberty.
They were undefeated, maybe, or they're pretty good.
Yeah, they're like 14-2, 14-3, something like that. Yeah, they got a great record. So starting to look into those guys and kind of see like who they play, how they play, kind of seeing what way we want to go in the bracket. And the weird thing about our district is it's split into like the north and the south. So like our southwest district, there's a south division, which just has 4 other teams in it, that we could end up playing one of those in the district finals. And they're more of that Cincinnati area. Yeah. So just a huge variety of teams that we could kind of choose to kind of see what kind of path that we want to take if given that opportunity.
So we could end up playing in that south division with just 4?
Yeah, so our district semis would be with teams from our northern part of the southwest district, and then our district finals would be one of those 4 teams.
Yeah, okay, so we wouldn't necessarily get to pick.
So those 4 teams will play each other in their district semifinals, and then we would have a chance. We can choose to go play on their half of the bracket to get to play them at the district finals.
Yeah, so Sunday will be the draw like we I kind of familiar a little bit with baseball, but with the girls then too, so you probably receded, I would assume.
All that's done online now through Max Prep. Yeah. So they have their power ranking index that they go through. And yeah, right now we're at a 4 seed. We're just, a couple hundredths of a point away from the third. So depending on how our game goes tomorrow and versus what Arcanum and Anna do tomorrow as well, there could be there's a little bit of room for shakeup because it takes our winning percentage, your opponents, and then your opponent's winning percentage. They're all weighted. So there is a little bit of shifting every game depending on how everybody does.
Do you think that it would make any difference to us if we're 3 or 4? Would that be...
No, I don't think.
As long as we're one of the top 4, we're probably good.
Yeah,
3's a little more prestigious, but you'll be playing some of the lower seeded teams,
right? There's.
So they basically do they have like the 1-1 against the 4 or in the same bracket side? Probably.
No. So then they have all 16 spots, and then you just so the 1 seed gets the first spot anywhere they want to go in the bracket, and then the 2, the 3, the 4, all the way down.
So you will get a choice of where you want to play, probably.
Yeah, and it's between Covington and Versailles, location wise of where we'll get to play. There's a chance that we could actually pass our turn until we see a couple of teams put themselves on a line. But in the end, it really just comes down to how we play and how we can execute and counter what the other teams are doing.
Is there anybody in that in our 16 team bracket that we're afraid of?
Has your day been a little crazy and now it's time for supper? Just remember, Wayne IGA has good, hot, ready-to-eat meals back in their deli, and their deli is now open until 8 p.m. every weeknight. Just stop in and pick out what you want. Chicken, tenderloins, chicken tenders, and more. Then grab some of their delicious side dishes and head on home with a great meal for your family. And, of course, they also have those great meals ready to go at lunchtime and all throughout the day. Easy in and easy out at Wayne IGA. Good food fast, and it's better than fast food.
This is Chad Guggenbiller with CSG Consulting Finance and Brokerage in Fort Recovery. Business owners and farmers, are you concerned with the economy and where things might be headed? That's why it's important to be thinking about your 2024 and 2025 operating monies. Come see our newest addition, my son Tyler and I, for the best value in the market. Because operating costs affect you every day, and it's nice to have a friend helping you navigate those current market challenges.
Maybe pay some bills, and we'll be right back and talk some more with Coach Deitch.
Yep.
Hi, this is Chad Guggenbiller with CSG Consulting Finance and Brokerage in Fort Recovery. Business owners and farmers, are you concerned with the economy and where things might be headed? That's why it's important to be thinking about your 2024 and 2025 operating monies. Come see our newest addition, my son Tyler and I, for the best value. value in the market, because operating costs affect you every day, and it's nice to have a friend helping you navigate those current market challenges. See us for a free review. CSG Consulting, your partner in planning and the fundamental things. 419-852-4049.
Here's an easy way to feed your family on a busy night. Just call Miracle Lanes at 375-4274 and let them take care of it. Whether you want wings, sandwiches, subs, their fried goodies, or their awesome pizza, just call them and they'll make it for you. Why work hard in the kitchen after a long day when Miracle Lanes is just a phone call away? And you don't want to miss their very popular all-you-can-eat Friday lunch buffet with salad bar, pizza, breadsticks, and boneless wings. And be sure to call them to book your lanes for birthday parties and other occasions. Miracle Lanes, great food and lots of fun. Stop by and see Corey and Jared today. Here are the basketball broadcasts coming up this weekend on Fort Recovery Radio. Tomorrow evening, the Lady Indians will travel to New Knoxville and will simulcast WPGW's broadcast of the varsity game. The huddle video and NK Telco will be available. Friday, the boys will host New Knoxville, and Fort Recovery Radio will broadcast the varsity game with our audio also on the NFHS video, and the huddle video will also be available. And it will be senior night for our boys basketball team. Then on Saturday, the boys will travel down to Arcanum to take on the Trojans, and Fort Recovery Radio will bring you the varsity game. Both the NFHS and huddle videos will be available. Lots of basketball this weekend, so get out to every game you can to help cheer on our Indians teams. But if you just can't get to the games in person, you can always listen live right here on Fort Recovery Radio, the home of the Indians.
Sports Talk, Bubba and Fee.
Deitch. And right now we got things rolling pretty good, and hopefully we can keep them going. Season is winding down.
Yep.
Big game tomorrow night.
Big game tomorrow night at New Knoxville.
What do you know about Knoxville?
Knoxville, oh, right now we're playing two quarters of JV tomorrow night. Okay. They got some girls who are hurt and sick. So, okay. Which everybody's got people sick right now for
yeah,
sure.
Absolutely.
I mean, we were missing two players on Monday night with yeah. that. So, Bridget starting and then Paisley coming off the bench. So we didn't have either of those guys. So it was nice to still be able to take care of what we needed to and still be able to get everybody in. Yeah.
Is Bridget going to be back? Do you know?
Bridget was back today at practice.
Oh, was she? Yep. Just flu yep. stuff going on? Or?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. There's a lot of that right
there
now.
There is. So we'll see how she's doing.
Yeah. With flu hurt. Stuff, you can be really dehydrated
yeah.
and
quick.
You might be great for 3 minutes and all of a sudden crash, yeah, or she could be just fine
right.
For the whole game. So you never know on that kind of thing.
Yeah. So we'll be managing things with that and just kind of see how things are going. But Knoxville, their record does not show how good they are. They have some players on their team. I think they're 3-16 right now.
Yeah.
But they have the Albers sisters who are good players, good athletes. And then the Egbert girl, the senior, good leadership, able to do a lot of stuff for them, play inside, be able to handle the ball. They've been missing the younger Albers, which since that's happened, they've kind of not been playing as well. But right before that, I mean, they took St. Henry all the way down to the wire. And,
yeah.
They're playing really good, playing really well. Just right now, they're in a bit of a schneid, and hopefully we can jump on.
But if you take them for granted, you're going to get bit.
Yes, that's been the message all week. And honestly, over the last 2.5 weeks, ever since we started with, Bradford, and then into Coldwater, South Adams, Franklin, Monroe. If we don't take any of those teams serious and we end up losing one of those games, those ones sting a little bit more than some of the others. So.
Yeah, sometimes we're the ones that could get bit. We don't want that.
Right. But. Yeah, so that's been a big thing that we've just been talking about, just executing and doing things to our standard. Mm-hmm. And really doing a great job of taking care of that, where I feel like last year when we had some of those, we really struggled in some of those games where it felt like we really should have been able to get in and out of the games quick, and then we just didn't really have that takeover killer mentality
that we're at now. I'm sure your seniors are probably That's a big help.
It is, yes. Especially, like I said, especially Carly here down this last couple stretch or this last few games.
She's been brutal.
Yes.
She is
coming
out
the gates hot every game, scoring about 8 points every first quarter. And then teams try to adjust and take that away and then opens things up for everybody else.
For everybody.
And just defensively, we've turned a lot of defense into offense lately, just using our length and playing aggressive and going for traps and then using our length and size on the front end of those to cause some longer passes, some slower passes that way, and then we put all our speed in the back end to
go get steal
hawk
and go.
Those and go. Yeah.
Yeah, it seems like that there's been a number of times of Kennedy being guard and guarding a guard. When we get a steal or a rebound, she's five steps ahead, and with her long leg, she gets a little farther down there, and Carly knows she's going, and she'll, or whoever gets the rebound, they know she's going, and they can get the ball to her, and she gets some pretty easy layups on our defense just because she's a couple of steps closer. Now, sometimes she's in under the basket getting rebounds too, but it seems like our girls are really good at knowing that somebody is heading down court, and they look for them and get them the ball pretty quick. It seems like in the last several games.
Yep. Yeah, that's definitely been an emphasis for us. Definitely been something that we've been working on, our transition and turning defense into offense, but also transitioning our full court into the half court whenever it doesn't, whenever we don't get a steal out of that, which was something that we struggled with early on when we were going with these press or working on our presses. But we've done a lot better job of that here of late.
Starting to figure out where to be, and it makes a big difference.
Yes. And then obviously we have goals at the beginning of the year, knowing that, obviously we want to win the conference every year.
Sure.
And just based where we've been the last few years, the girls had a goal of definitely being 500 by the end of the year. And right now on track to be able to do that, just got to win one or two more of these games down the stretch.
Yeah.
And then once that, you lose three MAC games, that goal kind of goes out the window. So then we kind of push on to that next one, get into that second season, and we really start working on adding in some new wrinkles of things to really be able to get ready for tournament and be able to be sharp and be crisp, which that's the big thing that we've been working on this week, is just executing things, trying to be as perfect as possible. That way, whenever something slips up, everybody else is there kind of to help pick you up because everybody's in the right spot. So just everything, because we do a lot of stuff, to be honest, offensively and defensively. A whole laundry list of things that we try to do. Kind of that jack of all trades, master of none. So right now we're trying to master a lot more of those things that we've put in.
And I'm sure that there's things that you want done, and if you get them, and if you try them and it doesn't work, that's nice having it's nice having a lot of different things that you can fall back on, a different defense or fall back on a different offense. And
right, yeah. So that was like a big thing where we were losing some of those close games early. We just really weren't able to adjust to what other teams were doing. So then, kind of as the season's gone on, we've been able to add a couple of new things, new concepts and schemes that we've been working on, and now we're finishing on some of those. And then when we do have to adjust, and we're doing a pretty good job of
being able
to execute that as well.
That's awesome.
Yep.
Coach, how about your junior high is probably getting ready to go into tournament battle too?
Get into tournament.
I know you've been down there a few times to check them out and stuff. How's things going down there?
A lot of progress. The girls are showing a lot of progress where they were at from the beginning of the year to where they are now. Just being able to the way that they play, and being able to kind of see a little bit of success throughout the year, kind of just boosts their levels and really helps them to push forward and keep growing, which is the biggest. That's the big thing with junior high. You just want to see growth. You want them to be able to enjoy basketball, and be able to keep coming back and keep learning. I think our eighth graders this year, they won one game. Last year, lost a couple of players, so they're only playing with five players right now. They filled in a couple of seventh graders here and there, but I'll tell you what, the way that those girls play and the games that they play really well, obviously there's some consistency issues, and you're going to have that in every junior high basketball program. But whenever they're playing well, it's a tough team. I mean, they got some length, they got some quickness, good guard play, and a lot of height, which is exciting. It's exciting for me to be able to see some of that and see how we were successful with a lot of that this year at the high school level, and being able to bring even more of that up next year. But yeah, they're playing good. They play hard, and it's good to see that even when things aren't going well, they don't just roll over and quit, and they keep pushing, and they've got themselves back into a couple of games doing that.
Good. And the big thing down there, I would assume, is fundamentals. I don't think at junior high level, you're not that worried about wins and losses down there. You're more worried about are they getting better, and they seem to be doing that.
Yeah, for sure.
And as a head coach, I mean, you'd love to have 5 or 6 great players in each class, but you know, if you can probably sneak 2 or 3 out, that always makes for a very good varsity team,
right? Yeah, if you can get 2 or 3 like good, solid players who can go out and contribute consistently out of each grade, it's really all you can ask for.
Yeah.
Ideally, you'd like to get 5 girls to be able to come up and stay through each year all the way through, which we haven't been able to get quite there. I think whenever last year, my first year, we ended up with 14 girls on the team. This year we had 15. But the year before that, I think we were down to 9, not being able to play JV.
Yeah.
So obviously us not having a junior class at all and only 2 seniors, our numbers should really start to pick up if we can just keep that 5 to 7 girls just, you know, coming through.
Yeah, and I think they and you know, to your credit, I think they like you, and that's probably spreading down through the whole program, and that's a big thing. I mean, I think the biggest thing is you can't hate your coach. You gotta hate him once in a while, but you know, not every day.
So. Right. Yeah. So I mean, hopefully,
I think everything's going good, and it seems like the numbers are starting to come a little bit for them.
And then even all the way down through our youth. I mean, it's not great numbers wise all the way down through, but we got at least 8 in each grade. So hopefully we can pick a couple up. You're always going to lose a couple at those levels, but hopefully there's a couple more athletes sneaking around that like, hey, I want to be a part of that. They kind of hear and see some of the fun stuff that we do and keep the younger kids involved with, and hopefully we can bring some of those guys along. Our third grade actually has 2 teams right now. So,
is that right?
Yeah.
So. Now they played, was that Monday night?
Yeah.
That was incredibly fun. Those kids look like they're having so much fun, and I know the fans just absolutely loved it.
Yep.
Those kids enjoyed being out there and doing stuff, and some of them knew what they were doing, but weren't strong enough to get the ball clear up to the basket.
Yeah.
I was pretty encouraged about, you know, that's third grade kids. That's 8-year-old kids that are out there. They know what's going on. They know how to play the game. And it was just really neat. There were some that were just so entertaining, man. They were just...
it's fun. It's fun for us to be able to, you know, be able to bring them out and kind of get them to have a chance to kind of play in front of some people and kind of show off. And it brings more people into our games, which helps us as well. But, I mean, a ton of credit to our youth coaches. I wish I had an infinite amount of time that I could go down and be a part of every practice, every game, every shootout that they go to, every league game. That's just not quite realistic. But, I mean, all the time and effort that those guys all put in is a huge help for me.
If you can make a few trips here and there down to that, you know, down to those little levels, that, you know, there's the head coach. I tell you what, that's a big thing for them. I think that's a huge thing for junior high level, for the youth level, you know, to see the varsity coach.
Yeah.
You know, and then they have their little tournaments and stuff once in a while, you know, and you walk in, that's a big thing. That'll cement them to you, I think.
Yeah, that's the plan.
Yeah.
And that's the plan for sure.
You're doing a great job of it, buddy. So we're down to... We got Knoxville tomorrow.
Knoxville, yep.
And then, and you said we're going to be there a little early. We're going to have 2 quarters of
Yeah, we got JV. Two quarters of JV. They got a couple girls who are out with injuries and illness. Mm-hmm. So they're only playing two quarters of JV right now. So hopefully we can get in and out of there quick with a W.
Get a W and head home.
That's right.
And then next week you're going to close the season out. The season at Salina.
Yep, we got Salina on Monday. Around like a 500 team. They played some of the teams that we've played kind of mm-hmm. to similar scores. Not that you can like always just score watch and see how teams are, but that should be a good matchup for us. A good warm up going into tournament, and then obviously we have Versailles then on Thursday, who is a big team, a good team in the conference.
Yeah.
Able to kind of bully people around with their size. They're probably mm-hmm. I'd say the biggest team in the conference.
Yeah.
Which I feel like kind of is good for us because we've got size as well, but I think our size is a little quicker than mm-hmm. theirs and can play a little bit more on the outside. So if we can kind of draw them out, I think it gives us good matchups to be able to play against their size.
Yeah, gets a W there too, maybe.
That's right. Yeah, if we can end the season with seven in a row, I would take that going into the tournament.
That'd be pretty sweet. Well, Coach, I appreciate you coming in. I know you got to get home but we love you taking time coming in and talking to us. And hey, things are rolling right now. Let's keep it going.
I appreciate it. Yep.
Maybe go down that tournament trail a while, and we'll have you come back in later, maybe in the regionals or districts.
That'd be all right, fun. Yeah, that sounds good.
All right, buddy. We appreciate you coming in. Neil, let's take a break. Come back. Yep. We'll talk some more sports.
Hello, this is Zoe from Brick Street Tavern, and we have delicious home-cooked daily lunch specials at a great price Monday through Friday. And now we also offer a second cook's choice lunch special every day. We still offer our regular lunch favorites. We start off each week with Mystery Monday, and our special will be something different each week. On Tuesday, it's our meatloaf dinner. Wednesday, it will be our famous three-piece chicken dinner. Thursday, you can get a tenderloin with fries and applesauce. And on Friday, we have our big half-pound cheeseburger with fries and slaw. And now we also offer a second lunch special every day. Check our Facebook page daily to see what our two lunch specials will be. Fast, delicious, home-cooked meals. Lunchtime, Monday through Friday, here at Brick Street Tavern in downtown Port Recovery.
Your castle, but do you have a round table of knights to constantly guard your castle? Hi, I'm Eric Brackman with Fort Recovery Insurance with an even better solution. Let's put together a policy with Ohio Mutual Insurance Group, and we can provide you with a Simply Safe security system for free. I think it's better than a moat to guard your castle and no digging required. Call me for details and let's keep your castle protected. FortRecoveryInsurance.com.
I'm Kenny Canote from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio. Aches and pains aren't trophies. They're just barriers keeping pros like you from getting the work done. You know better than anyone that this business can be backbreaking. But that's all the more reason to partner with someone who has your back. Ferris is about helping you finish strong and feel good about doing it. Ferris commercial grade mowers feature patented suspension technology that allows you to mow faster and get more work done while keeping you comfortable so you can feel good tomorrow. Ferris, work hard, feel good.
Hello, this is Amy Wendell, Secretary of the Fort Recovery Chamber of Commerce. We would like to invite you to celebrate some of Fort Recovery's most valuable community members on March the 9th at the Fort Recovery Elementary Middle School Auditoria for the annual Chamber Banquet. Doors open at 5:30 p.m. with a 50-50 and other raffles to participate in. Dinner will be served at 6 p.m. and presentation of awards to begin around 6:45. Tickets for the banquet are available at Fort Recovery Insurance, Park National Bank, or feel free to contact any of the chamber officers. Tickets are $15 a piece. Also, be sure to pick up your Citizen of the Year, Business of the Year, or Fort Recovery Hall of Fame nomination forms at Park National Bank, First Financial Bank, Fort Recovery Insurance, Grounded Cafe, the Post Office, or online at frchamber.org under Awards and Recognition. The Chamber and local businesses look forward to seeing you at the banquet on March the 9th.
Woodstock, Bubba and B.
Yep, we're back here on Sports Talk, and we just spoke with the coach, girls coach.
Girls coach got it rolling right now, Neil.
Yep.
I tell you what, they're playing good. They got 6-1 now in their last seven games, I think, and got over 500, 10-9, and they got three winnable games at the end of the year. I mean, it's going to take some good playing, but very possible they could win.
Well, and, you know, momentum's a thing.
Yeah.
And confidence. And You know, that's brought us a long way, boys and girls, the last month or so.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, the boys have only won one game, but, you know, Coldwater, one of the best best teams in the state.
Yeah.
Took them to it, the Marion Local last night.
Another good game.
You know, we're playing well.
Playing good, and we're just so close, just can't get that win.
And what I noticed last night, and what I was hoping for, Breaker Judy got very assertive.
Yeah.
He made his presence known.
He's a good athlete, I tell you.
Yeah, and he had been, I don't know if he was trying to figure out what his role is, or who knows? They're sophomores.
They got him kind of as a defensive stopper, I think. Mm-hmm. He always seems to have the best player on the other team. He's got to guard them, and that has to affect your offense a little bit, too. Mm-hmm. I mean,
he hadn't asserted himself on offense until last week.
Yeah.
And he did some.
Stepped it up.
And then the week before, Brody seemed to assert himself and just get out there and go do it, because those guys are good.
Yeah, they are.
And they're only sophomores.
They're very good ball
players. Those two. And of course, Grant Fortcamp has been pretty steady the whole time.
Yeah.
He hasn't been afraid to shoot. He's been taking care of stuff. But it seemed like other guys weren't able to find exactly what they wanted to do. And now Brody started creating shots, and Breaker.
Them two are in sync most of the time.
Yeah. I've said several times they seem to be playing with the same brain.
Yeah.
They know where each other's at.
That's big. That is
and they are really good at hitting the other guy with that pass.
And, we like you said, these last few games, we've been so close against really good teams.
Really good teams.
You know, and that's the one thing, like Coach Deitch said, you know, you can really fire a team up knowing that you're going south, you know, and you're not going to play St. Henry and Marion, and you're going to play these other teams, and I guarantee you they're more worried about us than we are them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So,
and there's years, especially, well, actually guys and girls, Tri-Village has always had, the last 10 years has had really good teams.
Yeah.
So, and we I don't think that maybe they might not even be in our division this year, since it's seven instead of four.
Yeah, that's very possible.
But, you know, that would have been somebody we'd hit, but but we're not afraid of anybody.
No.
You know, the way, especially the way we're, the guys and girls are playing now. The girls have been winning some of them, and the guys haven't, but still.
We kind of talked about with Coach Deitch, you know, he started his season off with a brutal schedule, you know, and he's, you know, 3-8 or 3-9 coming out of the gate, and then all of a sudden he hits a little bit better schedule, and we start beating all these teams, and he's got a nice little roll going now. Mm-hmm. The bad thing about the boys is their brutal schedule just don't go away.
it's every week. Yep.
But this is a big week for the Indians. I think we got senior night here Friday night against Knoxville, and Knoxville's you know, good ball club. It's gonna be fun.
They don't have a good record, but they're good.
Yeah, I mean, that's just another one of the teams, like he said, don't overlook them teams.
No.
They'll get you.
Yep.
Which I'm kind of looking forward to that. We got, like I said, senior night, and then
then the next week, Saturday
night, we got a Hat Arcanum, so this will be a good weekend for the boys.
Then the following Friday, we're Sales. The Friday after that, at Delphus.
Yep.
Delphus finally lost a game.
Yeah.
Spencerville got them. At the Vatican, I was pretty surprised.
That surprised me, too.
And Marion Local took them. I think they were right in it with a minute to go, and ended up being 5 or 7.
Yeah.
I was thinking that Elwer was going to score 40 points himself.
Yeah.
But that didn't happen. I think they only got 44 or 45. That might have been Marion's, but it was a low-scoring game. Mm. So, and just speaking of that, I was just thinking last night, playing Marion Local, one loss, only to Delphus. I haven't seen I haven't looked at the thing, but I'm guessing they're still a top 10 team in the state.
Oh, yeah.
And I think we exposed some weaknesses there. I mean, we did stuff to them that, you know, they had 8 threes.
Yeah.
And that was over half of their point production. And those, they were able to get, especially Kramer, Grant Kramer loose a couple of times to get those threes. He had three threes in a minute and 5 seconds.
Wow, that's quick.
Now, when we played him in the Battle of 119, he had two of them in the first minute, and we were down 8-0 before we started playing.
But the Battle of 119, that was a good game, too. Actually, I mean, it ended up being 20 at the end. But we battled them.
Absolutely.
In the third quarter, before he kind of got away from us.
Now, I'm not smart enough to know, but after he pointed it out, I could see a 1-2, 1-3-1 zone. That gave them problems. They were able to get just enough guys open and warm, not necessarily in spots. They were hot a couple of times. They would miss two or three in a row, but they were getting those threes. And Kramer got six of them, and you know that was huge. If those had been twos, or if he'd have missed two of those, we'd have won that game.
We'd have got them.
We had to foul them at the end. Minute to go, we only had one foul, so we had to foul them, put them on the line. And they were able to get the ball to one of their shooters, usually Kramer, before we could get them fouled. We had one guy kind of boxed into the corner at midcourt, and we're fouling him, but the officials wouldn't call it. He was able to get it to Kramer, and
we must be the nicest team ever, because we are always one foul with about a minute to go in the game. It's like, okay, you got a foul. Yep.
Well, and the first half, I believe there were only three fouls called in the first half of that game.
Is that right?
Yeah. And it wasn't like extremely physical. It was a typical MAC game, so there's some contact, but it wasn't like people were beating the heck out of each other.
They let them play a little bit.
Yeah, they let them play, and the guys didn't try to push it. They did on both teams. They were doing what they should do.
A lot of hand checking and stuff that you can
away and,
with.
Yeah, and things that you usually get away with, but sometimes the officials let you in, sometimes they don't. I think there's only two or three fouls, maybe four fouls the whole first half. Now, one of their guys, I can't remember who it was, got at one point they only had two fouls early in the second quarter. Mm-hmm. He had both of them.
Is that right?
Yeah, but nobody else. He was the closest one to foul trouble. Yeah. We're playing noticeably better. And Coldwater and Marion Local, two pretty tough teams.
Really good teams.
And we battled them right down to the end.
There again, you can feed off of that and find, you know.
Absolutely.
Don't worry about what our record is. It's a new season, you know.
I think those guys know that they have played really good teams right down to the end.
Yeah.
Between Coldwater and Marion Local, they are 25-6.
Is that right?
Yeah. So, and we were, if a couple of things had gone right, we could have won each one of those games.
I'm not even
remotely worried
about that. I'm with you. I think the boys could surprise teams down there in that playoff.
Once we get in
the tournament, you never know.
Now, some of those teams, especially the closer ones, know about us.
Yeah.
Some of the teams have heard of us. There's going to be teams down there never heard of us. They're going to look at our record and go, this will be easy.
We'll
beat them by 20.
Yeah.
So
that's exactly what could happen.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's just another thing that happens with us going south is that the teams that are playing each other, the MAC teams that are playing each other up here in the north section now, there's one less of those teams that can beat each other in there. So, we get the best deal out of that. But they also get a pretty good deal because there's one less team.
Same
way with our girls in volleyball, If we'd have been in there, there was three or four teams in the top five playing in the same sectional, and we could have beaten probably any one of those if things went right. So there's at least one less to fight with.
Obstacle you got to fight.
Yeah. So that helps everybody when we go south. It helps us a lot, but it does help the other teams because that's one less of, there's in a lot of the sports, it seems like recently, and I don't love it, but people don't want to play us. Mm. We have a bad record. They don't want to play us again. Mm-hmm. I'd rather be the teams that were thinking, man, I wish, we should win this, but I don't want to play Marion Local. Right now, we're the teams that they don't want to play. Looking at our record, thinking, somebody.
We're giving them good games.
Giving them good games. And they know that we can beat them.
If they slip up.
Yeah, done. They're done. They're gone.
Knocked out. You want to take a break?
Yep. Yeah,
we'll take a break. We'll come back and talk about Saturday night's Hall of Fame game.
Yep.
We'll be back in just a second.
The annual open house at Hall Brothers is set for Wednesday through Saturday, January 29th through February 1st. Stock up now on oils, filters, sweeps, belts, and points. Everything you know you're going to need this year. All parts are discounted during this week. It's our busiest week of the year, so feel free to pre-order and avoid the lines. Open house is coming up January 29th through February 1st at Hall Brothers, your local Case IH and Kubota dealer in Fort Recovery.
Do you want to work somewhere that is more than a workplace? Look no further than Cooper Farms, where their competitive pay and suburb workforce will make you feel like a part of the family from day one. Cooper Farms has locations in Van Wert, Paulding, and Mercer counties, and positions are open for all work styles. Whether you need a full-time job with competitive pay and excellent benefits, or a flexible part-time position that allows you to set your own hours, Cooper Farms is the place for you to pursue your next career. Go to CooperFarmsJobs.com to join us today and find a new job. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Does it seem like you never have enough outlets? All your appliances need power along with every other device and gadget. Now comes a power outage. Everything plugged in or being charged is or will be useless. You need a Generac automatic standby generator. Reasoner Energy can install your Generac so that all your outlets will have plenty of juice when everyone else loses their power. It's not a convenience, it's a necessity. Find out more about Generac generators at Reasoner Energy in Coldwater. 419-678-4858.
Tired of your old clunker? Wishing for a brand new truck, a Polaris Ranger, or maybe even a luxury pontoon boat? Well, stop daydreaming and start winning at the Win on the Wabash Super Raffle. That's right, folks. You could win one of 356 incredible prizes, including cold hard cash, top-of-the-line firearms, or even a surprise vehicle. Tickets are just $100 and include entry into both the Friday Night Tow and Go Raffle and the Saturday Super Raffle, plus a weekend wristband into the event. That means live music, delicious food, and more chances to win. Don't miss your chance to win big and give back to the community. Head to wowraffle.com to snag your tickets before they're gone. That's wowraffle.com. You could be the next big winner at the Win on the Wabash.
Sports Talk, Bubba and B.
Back here, Bubba and Fee Show. Bubba, chasing
bird flus. Chasing
bird flu.
Poultry.
Not good.
Nope.
Probably ain't gonna make her in tonight, but hopefully, next week. Yeah, we'll still be around next week.
Yeah,
I believe. Yeah, one more week, and then we're gonna go to Florida.
Yep. So, is he chasing bird flu? Is he chasing drones?
Might be chasing drones. Hey. And this is unbelievable. Last night, my dog wakes up at 2 o'clock in the morning and wants me to let him out. So I get up. I open the door, let him out. I look up, and 10 feet over my fence around my pool is a freaking drone. And I'm looking right at it.
You're kidding.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't very far up at all. And it was before that, my wife let this stupid dog out like 3 hours earlier, and she came running in, and she goes, there's 3 drones out right by our pool. I went, what the hell?
And I mean, they weren't like 100 feet in there? They're 10 feet?
No, this was 10 feet.
House high, roof high.
25 feet high at the most. I was looking right at it. I thought, what is this thing doing at night? Sitting over
me. So how big was it? As big as the table? Is it a couple of plates? Or
yeah, a little 15, bigger than that.
15 feet across? Or?
Probably, yeah, 6 feet, maybe 5 feet. I don't know how big it was. But it had lights on it.
Yeah.
Flashing. I was like, what the hell are you doing in my house? I thought... Yeah, they're telling about it. They're trying to find illegal aliens and immigrants and stuff.
Maybe your pool boy is a...
Yeah, maybe they were looking for the pool boy. But he wasn't around.
God.
That's a little scary, though. I opened the door and I'm thinking, what is that? And there it was.
Yeah.
Floating right on top of it.
Wow.
And my wife said there were three of them there one
time. Did you have your pants on?
No. Shorts.
Oh, wow. Okay.
What are you doing?
That's crazy.
That is crazy. This stuff.
I did.
What? Goofy as hell.
I'm not in favor of shooting them down because you don't know where the debris is going to go.
Well, true. That's
and you wouldn't want to fish all that crap out of your pool because your pool's mm-hmm. covered. So, but
yeah.
And you don't want it landing on your neighbor's car and all that kind of
exactly.
stuff. But man, I don't have a gun and I don't think a rifle will bring them down, but a shotgun might. But
yeah.
But I'm kind of. I don't like that.
I don't like it.
That is not good.
I don't know what it's supposed to be doing, but. Get them out of here.
Yeah, and I, maybe I need to, of course, I don't have any lights on in my house. I was going to say they could be hanging around. I keep the top curtains in my, I have 8-foot windows because of a 10-foot ceiling. But
yeah.
So the bottom ones are, bottom curtains are closed. The top ones are open. I don't want people snooping around in my house. I just go right there and look around my house. Of course, maybe if they had a drone, they could have a flashlight that was
doing it.
I don't need people snooping around in my house.
Exactly.
I have a lot of what I call family heirlooms that have been around a long time, and I don't need people messing with my stuff.
Leave them alone.
That is not good.
I agree.
And even if you just have, let's just say it's just some drone looking in a window in a room that you don't really go into. A lot of people have a formal living room and nothing's in there and it's spotless and all that stuff. People don't need to be looking in those windows.
Yeah. Stay the hell out of there.
Yeah. That has to be a crime. I don't think it is.
Probably
but
ain't,
you can't have people taking
photos,
pictures
and stuff,
of what's going on in your house.
It's crazy. Crazy world right now.
And the bad thing is, Doug Timmerman knows basically the same thing we do. Nothing.
Yeah.
We don't know. He's in charge of keeping things under control in the area.
You wonder how many people are calling.
Oh, it's got to be.
These things are all over the place.
Yeah. And they have asked people to call and report, and that's good. They're trying to keep track, but he has the FBI, FAA, and nobody
knows.
Somebody has to know what's going on.
You would think.
And why would they be looking around over your pool?
Yeah, there's just right up. What is going on here? And I thought, because usually, like you said, they're 200, 300 feet in the air.
Yeah, and not that skin in general stuff, but God.
But, wow.
So there's nobody in your neighborhood that's got.
Not that I know.
Crap going on.
Nope.
What are they spying on?
Mm.
What are they looking for? And who is it?
Yeah.
And, with the drones for the. That one.
Just lost those. Speaker
or microphone.
Microphone just took a bite.
But the drones that the Air Force and the Army and all those have, you can control those from 200 miles away. But those are pretty good sized things.
Yeah.
And some of what people have been seeing might be that.
Yeah,
but what you saw, somebody has to be fairly close.
I would think
to be able to control that.
Yeah, I don't. And there was. And she said there were three of them. Now she might have been sleepwalking or something. But I know I wasn't. I looked out. I was thinking, what is that?
Yeah, if there's only one, or three, or two, or seven, whatever it is.
Yeah.
That's
crazy.
You don't have nuclear secrets at your house.
No, I don't think. I got enough.
Maybe they. I don't know. It just that without with them, a lot of people they're saying, they're somebody's the PETA's out looking for people mistreating animals at the all of that, but that probably isn't it because they can't see inside the barns.
I wouldn't think
they can't see anything, and if they're looking for something else or really nothing else, they're in any place in Mercer County. You can't be within a mile of a poultry operation.
Yeah.
Anywhere you are, you're within a mile. So people think it might be poultry related, but and it could be. Who knows what's going on?
And, oh my God, it's crazy.
And when our sheriff with the FBI involved can't find out what's going on,
yeah,
or you know, if they can't make up a good story and say, don't worry about it, and and it's, you know, it's a secret government thing or something, just make it, you know, somebody has to be able to make up a good story and say, don't worry about it. And, you know, but they were out on the East Coast, New Jersey for 2 or 3 weeks.
For a while.
And now they're around here, probably not the same people, but you know.
I don't know what's going on.
There's been people, somebody took a picture one, and they said it looked like it was the size of a propane tank that sits in your yard. And then somebody else was, had picture one. They said it's the size of a propane tank, like for a gas grill. So the different sizes. You know, it's just...
It's crazy.
It's bizarre.
It is bizarre.
You know, somebody has to have an answer, and and you know, we've had Doug Timmerman on, and you know, he's a high quality person, and I can promise you he has connections, because he's
I'm sure he knows what's going on, dude.
Yeah, he needs to know what's going on. He ain't gonna let it go.
No.
He's gonna find out, and you know, they somebody said that the fire department got a call last night to go out south of town to Fort Laramie, New Uston Road. And so somebody put on there that somebody shot a flaming arrow at one of these and caught the field on fire.
Caught the field on fire.
But what I heard somewhat officially was... Toby, I can't think of it. It was an Elmer, I think it is. One of them out there, the T-O-B-E, Toby's, was burning a stump. And that's where the fire the fire was, and it got out of control. That's what the fire department went out there for. Was to,
had a flaming arrow at it.
Shot a flaming arrow at it and cut something on fire, and that was that was all over that that homegrown thing.
The alarm things.
Yeah, that's pretty neat. I think we might try to get them on sometime. Cause
yeah, that'd be good.
They, you know, they listen to scanner stuff, and they pass it on, and, you know, they only get the same information anybody can get, except they're self-described nerds about it. And they have these scanners on from several different places all the time, and they're keeping track of all of this. And they get they only get the same notifications from the sheriff's department that we do. People think that they're kind of in with the sheriff's department. No, they just...
So they're kind of ambulance chasers without the chasing.
And instead of, you know, most ambulance chases are lawyers trying to make money, and these guys, they don't have sponsors. They don't have anything. They're not making money. They're not... I think they said they do take donations, but they do not have, like, if Fort Recovery Radio tried to sponsor them, they won't do it.
They won't want
to. If I give them money, that's fine. But they ain't saying Fort Recovery Radio is helping us out, or Cooper Farms or whoever it is. They're not doing that. They're not doing that. They do. It does help them when people give them some money, but they will not do sponsorships. So I think that's just a pretty neat thing.
Yeah.
And
that's kind of neat.
Yeah. And
you want to find something out?
Yeah. Sometimes I listen to it. Sometimes, you know, they'll have the recording of the what went over the pager.
Yeah.
And they'll play it on, they'll put it on Facebook, and you can listen to it.
You can listen to it.
And sometimes they get a little more information than that, and sometimes they don't. You know, it's just pretty neat. But
yeah, it ain't bad.
I don't know how we got on that tangent.
Yeah, we got going there for a little bit. But hey, how about Saturday night? We put another Hall of Famer in.
Oh, yeah.
That was kind of fun, too. That's my buddy Mick. Mick McClure got put in, and, you know, it's kind of hard to describe, you know. I was telling last night, I was down at Janice's, and we were talking about it, you know, when they first did this, you know, that first wave of people that went, and you know, there's a lot of times that, and you know, I don't know how old I was then, but there was people I was like, who is that? And I was impressed the heck out of impressed, you know, with their stats and all the neat stuff and everything. But you know, now, like, with Mick out there, you know, half those kids have no idea who Mick is.
Yeah.
It was just like, it kind of dawned on me, I'm getting really old.
Yeah, I there was somebody that I thought was probably old. Oh, Johan.
Yeah.
I said, so did you ever see him play? He said, I was three when he was a senior. He said, I'm sure I saw him play, but I had no idea what I was looking at. So, you know, somebody like Johan that
stuff's crazy.
That knows, he's been in absolutely. Sports stuff for 20 years.
Yeah. Yep.
He didn't know who, he knew who he was, of course, because he plays golf with him all
right,
the time.
Right, golf with
he said, and he said several times, his golf swing is still as smooth as it ever was.
Yeah.
And he was, what, three-time MVP on
MVP,
the team?
Yeah, I think, on the team.
So but, you know. So he said, I know who he is. Never saw him play.
Never saw him play.
And what a neat guy he is. He is.
It was kind of neat, you know. I was just telling you before we came back on the air, you know, I think maybe if we get this down to putting one person in at a time, it might be worth taking a mic out there and letting them talk.
Yeah.
You know, if they want to. If they don't want to, that's fine.
Yeah.
But, you know, like Mick, I'm sure he would have said something. You know,
yeah. Probably 20, 30 seconds, maybe a minute.
Exactly. And exactly. Just, you know.
No, your Uncle Bob might have gone an hour.
That would be.
But it would have all been interesting.
I did tell Mick, though.
He would have told some stories.
I said, I've only seen two people of the 49 people that have ever been inducted into the Hall of Fame put their hands up and wave at the crowd.
Yep.
I said, my Uncle Bob and you. I said, so you're in rare air there, buddy. Not bad at all.
Yep. The stories that Bob could tell, and I got to hear some of them. He has led a life, man.
Crazy life. Great life.
I remember he was my gym teacher in high school.
Yeah.
And he was a basketball coach for a couple of years. But he was my gym teacher in high school. And one of the things that we did whatever we did in gym class, whatever is running or jumping, whatever it was.
Yep.
At the end of gym class, we got to run however many laps down the floor and back. He would stand at midcourt and shoot shots. However many he made, that's how many laps we ran. We never ran less than five.
Yeah, I can shoot.
Stand in midcourt, just throw him in. Midcourt,
knocking him in.
Laughing at us the whole time.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
But, you know, there was a lot of things with Mick that you know, his... Of course, the three-point thing's always a big difference.
Yeah,
they always say that, you know, when you were before and after. And Mick shot a lot of balls pretty far out. That would have been threes, I'm sure.
Definitely, yes.
But, you know, him down the stretch, he had... I was telling, asking his dad, I think his last three games, the double-digit derby was always about a point back and forth between him and Mick Brunswick, or Mark Brunswick. Mark Brunswick.
Okay, yep.
They were always kind of competitive against each other. Mark was a great athlete, went in and played minor league baseball. And, but that was a war between them two. And I think Mick's last three games he had like 25, 27, and 29 or something like that.
Yep.
And that took around him and ended up beating him by percentage points, I think, to win the double-digit derby, which is pretty cool, you know. And and back then that was something we always always watched it. You know, every Thursday night you ripped out the where we at.
Had to grab that afternoon Daily Standard. Now it comes in the morning, but at that time you had to
go get dad and see how we're doing.
And if you were on the tail end of the paperboy's route, you would go to one of the stores and buy the paper.
Get it before you got it there.
A half an hour before the paperboy would get there, so you could...
Want to see who was where we were at. How many Fort Recovery guys you had in there, you know? That was always kind of cool. It was pretty neat to do. And and I remember they had the all Dayton area. And Mick was like, I think maybe top 20 or 25 in the Dayton area.
Yeah.
And they had a Lima area also, and he was on that. You know, he had a lot of neat things that he did you know.
Plus, he was a really neat guy.
Great guy. Yeah, absolutely great guy. We were laughing. We went out to the bowling alley was it was a great thing, I thought.
Yeah.
I thought they did a nice job out there with the boosters and stuff. And, I think everybody had fun and made a little money. But we were laughing because Mick and I walked home. Everybody laughed. I said, well, let's walk. I said, this Hall of Fame thing ain't really paying off for you too much yet. I said, we couldn't even catch a ride home with anybody.
Well, at least you live on that end of town. Yeah. It wasn't a long
didn't
walk.
Didn't take a very long walk.
Wouldn't be like me or somebody that lives down on North Wayne Street.
I don't know if I'd have made that. we made her, though. We had fun, and it went a great night, and got to see his kids and stuff. And
some of his college buddies were here.
Yeah, some of them guys came.
So, and some of those guys spent a lot of time here in Fort Recovery years, man.
Yeah.
Those guys were
fun. He brought some fun guys home, yeah.
That was some fun times when he brought those guys
home. In fact, Ron Negre was going to try to make it. He had some stuff going on that he couldn't make it. But I called him and asked him. I said, any chance you coming? And he goes, I would, but he just had some surgery or something done, and he was like, yeah.
Yeah, you can bet he would have been here.
I'm supposed to be driving, he said, but I might be a game time decision. He said, I could be rolling in. I kept thinking he might roll in any time.
Get him an Uber.
Yeah,
we should have kicked in, got him an Uber.
We could have got him down here.
that would have been good because he was, Mick and Negre were legendary.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they were.
They had a lot of fun. They played a lot of golf tournaments. And they got a lot of Fort Recovery Opens. And,
yep.
And, Mick was very deserving. Very deserving getting in there.
Absolutely, he was.
I kind of said that at the end there a little bit, but I was kind of trying to index some of it. But if you know of anybody out there, the thing now is I think the first few years, the committee they had together picked these players out.
Yes.
And now you have to,
you have to be elected.
You've got to
nominate them, and then they have to get elected.
They got to get nominated, or they don't even go into the thought process, because after, I don't know how long it was, but there were people getting put in younger than Mick, and I kept thinking, and I asked Bill Becklow one time, I said, well, what happened? How come Mick ain't in? And then he said, he's not in there. I said, what do you mean he in there? And I just thought they put him in.
Yeah.
But he said, after that first two or three waves of people, then it became, you got to nominate somebody. So if you don't nominate them, they have no chance of getting in. So then Mick and I, we went through about 3 years ago. I got him in, and then the next year was the 71 team got in, which was fine. It was great. And then there was a year that there was two more got in, and then we had a break. Last year they didn't do it because they were trying to get things
refigure how it was
how
done.
To do it. And they got that done now, and then he got elected in this year.
So. And there were so many, there were probably 15 or 20 that were so obvious that should get in that, even somebody that didn't know much could have gotten those first 20 right.
Yeah, those were
Tom Bryan, Bob Feely, Doc Konecki, baseball team guys. And, the bad part about the baseball team thing was that what I've heard over the years was about 30, 40 years ago, all those all the books from the baseball team in the 30s, 40s, 50s just got burned.
Got burned up. I heard that too.
So all of those things were lost. And so they only were able to go by newspaper articles. So like Dominic Coughlin that got in 10 years ago or so, whatever that was, through two back-to-back no-hitters.
Yes. I announced that, and I remember saying, I'm a baseball guy. That's unheard of.
Yeah, it's incredible.
It can't happen. I said, not in high school baseball. There's no way that could happen.
And like Whitey Bruns and
Jerry
Obringer. Those stats are lost, but those guys were unreal.
Those guys
were unreal.
Great.
And Norm Metzger, whatever kind of batting average he had, that's gone.
Yeah.
He was good.
Very good, too.
And he should be in the Hall of Fame just because he never missed a game.
you mentioned Jerry Obringer. Years. Jerry Obringer, I had another good Mick story there with Jerry Obringer. Mick played on the Legion team.
Oh, yeah.
He used to have a Legion team around here.
Yep. Well,
so I came up and I was going to watch him. And I don't know if they didn't have enough players or what happened, but Jerry Obringer plays.
Yeah, I think he was a coach, maybe.
He was coaching.
Or maybe when
they didn't have enough players. Anyhow, he pitches.
Yeah.
And he pitches against a Muncie team, and they were like, what's the old man doing out there? Yeah. The old man shut him out like 2-0. They said they had like two hits. Couldn't hit him. He's 50 years old, and he's throwing a no-hitter. I was like, this is unbelievable.
Yep, I've heard bits of that story.
There. I watched it. It was fabulous. It started out, who's the old geezer out there? Oh, who's got the old man? Oh, for God's sake. And then all of a sudden, it was like, we can't hit this guy. This is unbelievable.
That's Satchel Paige.
Yeah.
Shut up.
He's going to strike every one of you out, so enjoy.
Yeah, and people like that, those stats are lost, and it's too bad. Sad. But the people that watched them are gone.
Yeah, I mean that's with Mick. We had no stats.
Yeah,
and the thing would happen. I think Bill used to go over to. I think it's Salina, maybe, is it the old to get all the old papers.
Oh, yeah.
And he would go through it. And he said, I'd spend it the whole afternoon. He'd go there at noon, and he'd be there at 5 o'clock. He said, I'd be going through all these stats and finding stuff, you know. And he did a nice job of, when I used to do it up at the KFC Hall, they always had everybody's stats. And there's some people, like when Greg got in, I mean, Lynn had, like, a ton of books and stuff had all his stats and stuff in it, which was great. Then you know exactly
absolutely.
But there's people. Elijah's, I don't think he's been nominated, and you know those guys are no doubters too. Wade Galehouse, you know Micaiah Cox. There's a lot of guys, a lot of people that need to be put in.
Yeah, the upside of that is they have plenty of time, but at the same time, just because they have plenty of time doesn't mean we shouldn't get them in.
Shouldn't get them in. I agree. I agree.
Yeah, there's just a lot of, and there's, you know, you and I have been around a while and have seen a lot of people play.
Yeah.
And I was looking at the Hall of Fame wall out there, and I personally knew, I think, 85 to 90% of those people either knew them, or watched them play a bunch knew who they were. And the other ones I had heard of.
Yeah.
You know, I never got to see your Uncle Bob Feely play.
No.
But I knew, you know, he played at UD and he was a star. So, you know.
Pretty good.
I did get to see the Shane boys play. Yeah. And I think it was Jim that played it at UD. And you know, when guys play for UD.
Yeah.
That's big.
That's big.
Yeah, that's not
back then. That was really big.
Yeah, that's not a pretty good player.
Mm-hmm.
That's an incredible player.
I know my Uncle Bob was on the NIT team that won the NIT.
Yeah,
and NIT used to be huge.
Yeah, the NIT along about, I'm thinking late 60s, early 70s, the NCAA said, because the NIT was the national championship. Mm-hmm. NCAA said, well, if you're going to be in the NCAA, we're going to have our tournament, and that's going to be the big one.
Yeah.
And that's the national championship. But until around early 70s, somewhere in there,
NIT.
It was always, if you won the NIT, you won the national championship. It was the invitational, and it wasn't the ones left over from the NCAA like they are now.
Yeah, exactly.
It was the NCAA, it was switched. NCAA was the leftovers from the NIT.
Yeah.
If you won the NIT, the National Invitational Tournament, you were the national champion.
Yeah, and I do remember that.
Yeah, and when in those days when Bob was playing, that was a big deal.
That was a big deal.
Everything. That was the national championship stuff going on.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, I love our Hall of Fame stuff.
I do too. We may have put them in too fast once in a while there. I think we got going pretty quick, but but now I think
the first 3, 4, 5 years, all of those people needed to be in the first one.
Yeah.
But we couldn't do 40 people at the same time, so kind of spaced them out a little bit, and then it got a little bit. Started getting watered down a little, I think.
I thought so. Probably
might be a way to say it.
Yeah.
And it wasn't special anymore.
Yeah,
but I think doing one, maybe two at a time is going to be a really big deal.
And I hope they do look into that and think about maybe
letting them talk a little bit
and stuff.
Yeah.
I used to remember, I'm sure you watched it too, Neil, like with Bobby Knight in Indiana. His senior night was always so cool because they'd let the kids talk, and you know they were choked up, and I mean I can remember the first 2 or 3 years that we did our Hall of Fame. I mean, I had goosebumps,
yes,
and tears in your eyes, and you know,
I
mean, and these guys that were going in there, they really wanted to be in there, you know, and it was special that they got in there,
yes,
and that's what we want to keep making it the same way. Hopefully, it stays that way and becomes back the way it was,
yeah.
And make it emotional, and I think letting a guy talk a little bit, you know, and just to appreciate Fort Recovery and appreciate his athletic careers, and that would be kind of neat, I think.
Yep, and maybe even mention a couple of their favorite fans, like Cy P.
Yeah.
We lost him this week.
Absolutely, we lost him this week. And
we lost,
I guarantee you right now, him and
Tim Heitkamp.
Him and Neffy are up there.
God, those hurt.
Oh, I know.
Losing those guys hurts.
I tell you, they were... Bill and I were out at the bowling like 2 weeks ago watching the Buckeyes.
Yep.
With Cy P.
Yep.
And he was talking about how good he feels and everything was going good, and daggone it.
Yep.
Yeah, I was shocked there Monday when I got a text from him. Said that.
Yeah. I happened to hear it.
Losing way too many great people.
Yeah, I happened to hear it Monday at the ball game. I went over to talk to Bob to see if he had anybody lined up for tonight. Mm-hmm. And Corey Gerlach turned around to him and said, "Is it true that Cy P died?" And they said, "Yep."
Yeah.
And they were talking about some things, and I couldn't understand all that was going on, but you know, that one hurts.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I can see them two still sitting there together, Tim and Neffy.
Yeah.
They always were together at every
game. Oh, yeah.
Classic.
And Tim Heitkamp, and it's not like it was.
No, those guys are legends. I tell you what.
Yeah, and
you can probably talk to everybody that's played basketball, and they'll know them guys. Oh yeah, they were always in the front row.
Yep,
screaming, going crazy,
and Neffy doing his backwards travels.
I love it.
Yeah, some of those things are just legendary.
They are legendary.
I don't know. Do we need a Hall of Fame for?
Yeah.
Guys like, and you know, Norm Metzger especially. He probably deserves to be in there for his baseball stuff.
Yep.
But nobody has any stats.
Right.
But, you know, he didn't miss a game for decades.
Forever.
I think it was 55 years.
I thought it was about 50 years, too. That's crazy.
I think I remember somebody, maybe you announcing this 55 years that he hadn't missed one game.
Yeah, that's incredible.
You know, and he did the scorebook for a while back in the 50s, and
yeah.
I think that's how he started doing it. And he had a couple of sons that played.
Yeah,
three sons that played, and he didn't miss, and then he just got in the. These are my people. I got to go see them play.
That's all we do, yeah.
And he was a super fan.
Fan is right.
And what a great guy.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that somewhere in the new complex, baseball complex, I believe that it's the dugout that is the Metzger brothers' dugout.
Yeah, I think it is.
I believe that Norb and Vic that did so much.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't realize this. Norb's daughter, Diller, can't think of her name.
Jeanette,
yeah, couldn't think of her name. She was telling me, you know, because one of the things we talked about up in the old press box is, mm-hmm. We have a name for this field? Well, let's call it Norb Metzger Field. And she told me that she'd heard that a couple of times because they couldn't get to a couple of the games. And she said, well, to be honest, that's not a bad thing, mm-hmm. because Dad and Vic built the dugouts, did all, you know, obviously Vic did the wiring, and then Norba helped him. They built everything there that wasn't the field.
Those guys were legends, too. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. And, you know.
You know, like Norby, I remember being in the Lions Club, and we would set up the Jubilee, and nobody knew how to do anything but Norb.
Yeah.
He would come out there, and he had everything in his head.
Yep.
Because I think we got to the point where he was getting older, and it was like, Norb, we got to write this stuff down.
Yeah.
Put that over there. That tent goes there. This one goes over here. Yeah, there's where you want to put the steak in. Put it over here. You know, it's like, this dude knows every steak where it's supposed to be.
Every inch.
Yeah. Every inch of that thing, he knew exactly.
And Vic did all the electrical.
And all the electrical. Yeah.
And, you know, and most people would never even notice.
No.
Why would you?
Set up every year.
Yeah, it just, you know, things like that just magically happened.
It magically appeared. But we did at least get some time. We finally got some Lions members to help and we at least help him out when he did some of that stuff. I think he did a lot of that stuff all on his own.
Oh, absolutely. He'd be down there at 5:30 in the morning.
Yeah, working on the thing.
As soon as the sun came up, he's down there doing stuff for 2 weeks before and 2 weeks after.
Yeah.
He's
incredible.
Yeah. People like that are just, you can't replace them.
No, you can't. Yep. Yeah, we're going to miss IP. He's one of the best.
Yep.
All right, Neil, we got to go tomorrow night. We're going
tomorrow night, the girls.
Knoxville.
Yeah, New Knoxville. That's a two-quarter JV, according to the coach.
Better get there a little early.
That just happened.
Yep, better get there a little early.
And
then the boys will be here.
Yep, boys will be home senior against night. Knoxville.
Senior night.
Basketball night. Senior night. Probably cheerleaders, too. It didn't say that on the thing, but it
did. Yeah, I'm sure it will be.
And then Saturday, we're going to Arcanum.
At Arcanum.
So that gives you a reason to go to the Maid, right?
Got to go to the Maid, right, for one. That'd be perfect.
Yep.
All right, everybody. Let's root them on this weekend. Let's get a couple more wins for the Old Fort. We will see you next Wednesday night.